Well, God bless you and welcome to this new year. It's January 7th, 2007 already, if we can imagine that. 2007. What we want to look at tonight, or this morning actually, is real New Year's resolutions. You know, not the, I want to lose weight, I want to work harder, which really should be, I want to work smarter, or I want to have more family time, but let's get to something that's real. Let's get something that will really help you be successful, some goals and some directions that will give you, you know, a new beginning, a new hope, a new start, which will take you into more of a spiritual than a physical point of view. So to do that, we have to go to Romans chapter 10, of course, to start. And in Romans chapter 10, we go to verse 9, and we read that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you talk about the new beginnings of new beginnings, a new start. You're going from death to life here. Confessing Jesus is Lord. Believing in the innermost part of your being that God raised him from the dead. Then you're saved. You have salvation. Talk about a new start, a new beginning. In 2 Peter then, chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Peter 1, 3, we read, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So, God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, or all things that pertain unto a godly life. That's what we want to live now. Once we're born again of God's Spirit, once we've made Jesus Lord, we've got a true newness, a true new beginning. Well, we want to live a life that's pleasing to him. Now, it says here that he's given us everything we need to have a life, a real life, a godly life, a life full of godliness. But how? Through the knowledge of him. And that's the key. We have to learn about God, about Jesus Christ, about all the godliness that he's made available for us to learn and then to live. And we find all that, of course, in the Bible. So let's read this whole verse again. According to his divine power hath given, past tense, he's already given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, or all things that pertain unto a godly life, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Virtue is that, it's a moral goodness, a moral righteousness. That's what we want there. So we want to learn how to live a godly life. We do that by living what he promises. Well, verse 4 tells us that. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So, God has given us great and precious promises, and we find them in his word. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, so we have a new beginning, a new life, and we want to live a godly life. So we do that by learning these precious promises, by learning about what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished in our behalf. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is this exhortation. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're to study what? Well, the Bible, of course. We're to study. And the word study is a Greek word that means to expend a diligent effort. So study, not falling asleep, not while you're watching television, but take the time to study, to expend that diligent effort, utilizing the time wisely is the rest of the definition for that word. And we only have so much time. And we need to utilize it wisely. So put out a diligent effort by studying God's word. Why? So you can stand approved unto God. If you, you know, if you're going to live a life, you want a life that is approved by God. You know, you want to be a workman then that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're to study God's word. So we're going to rightly divide it as a workman who is not ashamed of their workmanship, but they will take the necessary time and effort to learn about the things of God, about what Jesus Christ accomplished, to live it, and then to teach it to others, rightly dividing this word of truth. So let's go to Ephesians 2, and let's look at some of these New Year resolutions that we'll find from the Bible. The first one is, let's get a new perspective. Many people need a new perspective on things. So they could go off into the mountains or something, but here's an even higher place. Ephesians 2:6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We who accepted Jesus as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, all of us he's raised together, and he said, sit down, where? In the heavenlies. Talk about a new perspective, you're seated in the heavenlies. It's definitely a new vantage point, quite a way to view life. Quite a bit different than just looking at everything from the world's perspective, but looking at it from the true perspective of where we are, seated in the heavenlies, looking down. In Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, we read, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So this is telling us to seek. Set your affections on things above. And, you know, it's a beautiful figure because God is said to be in the heavenlies. He is said to be, he's everywhere. But it gives us that new perspective. Instead of looking straight out at the world and the lust of the world and all of that, we can seek the things of God. Set our affections. You know, what are our goals? Put our efforts on seeking the things of God from our new vantage point, since we're seated in the heavenlies. In 2 Corinthians 2, so the second thing I want to look at is another New Year's resolution is a new access to success. 2 Corinthians 2. You see, we want to live a godly life. We're to study God's Word to learn what it is we need to and understand His promises so then we can have a real new start, a newness of life, a new beginning, seeking things above, godly things, and not falling into the rut of this world. So we want a new access to success. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. It always causes us to triumph in Christ. Isn't that tremendous? Always. So you have a new access to success. If we're doing what God wants us to do, we're going to be successful. Because in Isaiah it says God's word doesn't come back void. But we've got to make sure that we're doing what God wants, not so much what we want to do and what we think God ought to do for us and directing God all the time. Doesn't work like that. We work together. And one of the things we have today is a new vocation. If you look to chapter 6 now, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, we can develop a partnership in our vocation that's very meaningful. 6:1 says, we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We're workers together. You know, God, Jesus Christ, the family of God, we all work together doing the things that God wants us to do. So talk about a meaningful life. Talk about a partner and a partnership. That's something we want to continue to cultivate, continue to develop, this meaningful job that we have. We need to continue to develop the talent so that we never knew we really even had. 2 Corinthians 9. And it's because as we lock into the power of God, we can operate God's power because God is able. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to or in every good work. God is able to work in you, to work with you as a partner, to do things that we can abound in all these good works. We can do all these things God wants us to do as long as we're tied into the partnership properly. So that's quite a vocation that we have here. Look at Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We have Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Jesus Christ is not on earth today. We're in his stead. We are God's workmanship. We've got Christ in us, the Holy Spirit, that great gift. That's what he's created in us. So now we have everything we need to do good works. We've been ordained to do good works. We can walk in them. There's a lot of them that are out there. We don't do them to be saved. We do them because God wants us to, because we've already received the Spirit. And in thankfulness, he's our partner. We want to walk and work with him. So we're going to do what it is that he needs done, whatever it is. See, we want to continue to develop these good works, and it's an opportunity then to develop our enablements, the spiritual abilities that God has given us, so that, you know, we've been given a great opportunity as a fellow laborer, look at Philippians 2, to work with him and for him. And since we're in a partnership here, look at Philippians 2:13. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, if I took a ball and threw it at you out there in the audience, what would you do? You would watch it until it hit you in the head. No, you would have a reaction. You would immediately move. Well, God works in us that fast sometimes. God is working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. We're fellow laborers. We're joint heirs. We work together. So we have a tremendous partnership, a tremendous vocation to develop. We have a great opportunity to develop a spiritual life, which is a meaningful life, which would then be a useful life, because we'll be helping others. We'll be doing good works. We'll be doing the works that God needs done. Look at Colossians 1. And those are so much better than what the world thinks are good works. Colossians 1:10. Jesus Christ told his apostles to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out spirits, preach the word. All of these are part of the good works that we can do today. Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So daily we want to increase our knowledge of God. We want to increase our experience with God. We want to continue to be fruitful, to continue on our resume to have more and more good works, because we're doing what God needs done. We walk worthy of him. What will be pleasing to him? And if we're doing that, then we'll have the fruit. We'll have opportunities to serve God in a tremendous way. So in a way that will benefit others the best way. So back to Ephesians 2 again, we want to develop new relationships. That's a great thing to do every year. Well, Ephesians 2:19 tells us that we have a membership, not to just any elite club, but we have a membership to the body of Christ. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you're no longer a stranger. You're no longer a foreigner. Instead, you're a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. You belong to God now. You make up God's townspeople is what we really are. We live in God's village, his town, his city, his country, whatever you want to call it. We're not a stranger to God anymore. We're not a foreigner to God. We're fellow citizens with the saints. It's God in Christ in us. We all have that same gift of Holy Spirit. We're in the household of God, and we're doing our best that we can to do whatever it is to bless God's people, to study his works. We know what to do so we can do the good works that will help enrich the body of Christ. Whatever our role is in the body of Christ, we need to continue to do it and learn how to do it better and to be able to bless God's people even more. Look at verse 18. Because another thing that we have today is that access to power. We have access to God Almighty. We have access to the authority to utilize this power. 2:18 says, for through him we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit, by that same Spirit, unto the Father. We now have access to the Father to utilize the gift that he's given us, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we can go to him with prayers, petitions, wants, desires, and we have direct access to Him. Since we're part of the body of Christ, since we live in God's town, we have access to His power, access to God Almighty. Isn't that incredible? Look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, Hebrews James 4:14. And in Hebrews 4:14 we read, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." That's just a wonderful verse. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus Christ was a complete Savior. He paid the price for us. He made access available by His perfect walk, by His death, by His resurrection, by His ascension, by the giving of the gift of Holy Spirit. So then verse 16 can be a present true reality. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can come boldly unto the throne of grace now, because, first off, we get mercy, which we need, and we get grace, so then we can get help and we can help others in the time of need. What a tremendous loving God. Here, go to 1 Timothy. Just back a few pages here. Thessalonians, Timothy. Talk about new relationships in the body of Christ. Direct access to God Almighty. Right into His throne room. We can utilize the authority we've been given. In 1 Timothy 2:5 we read, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." See, we can tap into God's power via this mediator. Because of our identification with Christ, because of what He accomplished on our behalf, He's our mediator. He's there making intercession between God and men, mediating our miserable shortcomings in life and making it available for God to forget that, but instead to look on us as children who will have this, who God will create a new spirit within us and give us access to Him. And that's what our mediator has done on our behalf. What a tremendous thing that we have today. You know, talk about new relationships, memberships. You can't top this one because it's going to give us eternal life. Again, back to Ephesians 2. There's so many great truths here in Ephesians and Corinthians of what we have as members of the body of Christ, of some of these great New Year's resolutions that will help us a lot more than losing a few pounds. Being able to know more, study more, understand God's heart bigger, so much more bigger. Ephesians 2 shows us this new lease of life that we had. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." See, this is where we were. We were dead. You know what? If you're dead, you're dead. Doesn't matter how you got there. And that's where we all were until we made Jesus Lord. When He, through His accomplished work, through His being able to be our mediator, we who were dead. Verse 2 talked about how we lived our lives then. "Where at time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our behavior in times past." Everybody was there at one time. This is what we tried to fulfill. Lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Our nature was one of children of wrath, just like others who haven't confessed Jesus. That's where we were. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead, when we were in lust, when we were just fulfilling ourselves, a me-first attitude, even when we were that way, God has quickened us or made us alive together with Christ because of grace. It's grace that we have received salvation. Death to life. Being worthless to being more valuable than all the money in the world. Talk about getting a new lease on life. Now we have an opportunity to live a valuable life, a worthy life, a real life that will be a great blessing to God. Now, God doesn't want us just to be miserable in this life, though. If you go to 3 John 2, just before the book of Revelation, towards the end of the Bible, we see a great promise from God's Word. Since we're His children, He wants the best for us. Here in 3 John 2, he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things." So this must be pretty high in his priority. It's not like, well, maybe we'll get around to it sometime when I'm bored. God is saying, "I wish above all things that you prosper, that you be in health, even as thy soul prospers." That's what God wants. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be healthy. That's, you know, don't you want the best for your children? Sure. You want that for yourself too, I would hope. God is saying, above all things. That's very high on his priority list then. Prosper, be in health. Go to Deuteronomy 8. Back in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and in chapter 8. You see, it's not a mistake. God really wants us to prosper. God wants us to be healthy. Here in Deuteronomy 8:18, we read, this is dealing with Israel, but it's still very true today. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." And that's just always a great exhortation. Whatever you're doing, remember to keep God in the picture. Because it is He, it is God that gives thee the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sworn to thy fathers, as it is this day. God gives us the power to get wealth. God wants us to prosper. To have a prosperous life is more than just finances. It's more than just wealth. It's to be successful in what we're doing. So we want to be prosperous in the good works that God has called us to do, and it starts by studying His Word. And the more we learn it, the more we can live it, the more then we can manifest this prosperous, more abundant life that is available for us. Look at Deuteronomy 29. So let's do it God's way. If we understand prosperity from God's point of view, it will continue to have a tremendous life, well-pleasing unto our Heavenly Father. 29:9. "Keep, therefore, the words of this covenant, and do them." Why? "That you may prosper in all that you do." Again, God wants us to prosper. But where's the catch-all in all that? Do the words that are written in this book. That's what He's telling us. Study it, learn it, live it, enjoy it, be there for Him, and then you will learn the keys to prosperity, the keys to well-being. Look at Malachi, just before the Gospels, the book of Malachi chapter 3. And we'll pick it up in verse 10. Just before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have Malachi. Malachi was the last recorded prophet before the Lord Jesus Christ was born and came on the scene. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 is where we're going to pick it up. This is under the law, but it says, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts." God is charging the people from Israel, and this is still true today. As we give, we will receive. Here specifically, He's saying, bring all the tithes into my storehouse. Let there be meat for the people who work for me in my house, and prove me. Watch me then do and back up what I say I'm going to do. And here's what I say I'm going to do. Since I'm the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that shall not be room enough to receive it. The only place this is used is during Noah's flood. Was there a lot of water? Absolutely. Will this be a lot of prosperity? Absolutely. He will pour out a blessing. Don't you want to have a life that's a blessing? So much so that you won't even have room enough to receive it. The next thing he's really charging us to do, if we continue to understand prosperity comes from Him, and to learn the true keys to prosperity and well-being are all written here in the Bible, he says, "Then I will rebuke." God will go to work and rebuke the devourer for your sakes. "You shall not, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed. For you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts." You know, your crops will come. You'll get the right moisture when you need it. Your car will last longer. Just things will happen correctly for you when you're in alignment and harmony with giving and receiving with the true God. So the keys to prosperity, and many people, when they make New Year's resolutions, prosperity is always a big one. And so is health. and they are very big. But again, where do you find the great truths to prosperity and well-being? They're proved, they're laid out all over God's Word for us. And again, it's God is charging us to keep His Word, to do what it is that He has told us to do in His Word, and we will see great things come to pass. Our lives will be a joy, not only for this year, but as you make these things a habit and build them, they will be there for you for the rest of your life. And then you can tell others what God has done for you in all these wonderful categories. You know, having a new perspective, having access to success, knowing our partnership and new relationships as part of the family of God, and that we can walk right into God, God's throne room, speak directly to Him. And we know that He cares about prosperity. He cares about our lives. He's interested in every aspect of our lives. And it's up to us to include Him, to spend time with Him, because He's our Father. That's all He gets is us. Go to 1 Corinthians 2, back into the New Testament. You see, He'll rebuke the devourer. He'll fight the spiritual fight for us. You know, and you realize most people don't understand that prosperity is part of the spiritual fight. So we need to understand the keys to have prosperity and not have pockets with holes in them. As we make things, it just runs out, it's gone, as if we never made it, because it immediately disappears. God is so much bigger than all of that. Well, in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we read, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now, that's a new way of looking at things. I think you could call this, many people want a fresh outlook of life, a new frame of mind to see things through. You know, get rid of the filters and see things in a better way. So, you know, do you want a better way of looking at life, looking and understanding people, at events as they happen? Well, this verse here tells us to put on the mind of Christ. We put on the mind of Christ, we're going to have a whole different view, because certain things that the world really cares about will mean very little to us. So there's a good, real New Year's resolution. Forget about looking at the things of the world. Let's look at the things of the world through the light of God's Word, through the mind of Christ. And many other things will just fade. Things that we thought might have been important at one time, they don't mean as much anymore. We'll want to do what it is that God wants us to do. Look at 2 Corinthians now. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because many people would just like to have a worthwhile position in life. Well, look at 2 Corinthians 5:20. Look what it tells us. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." We are ambassadors for Christ. Right now, we have an assignment. We're on assignment. We have a position, a worthy position. You know, if you're an ambassador, you have a position of influence, a position of prestige. And that is a position of responsibility. You have to speak for the country, the nation. You speak on behalf of what they, their goals, their directions, their want is. You speak for them. You're an ambassador. You have been given the power to speak on behalf of others. But you've been given the influence, the power, the prestige to step up and do that. Well, God has called us to be an ambassador for Him. It's up to us to get His Word out so others can learn it, so they can live it. So we have been given an incredible responsibility, and we need to take it seriously. So what kind of an ambassador do we want to be? Do we want to be one that just never gets around to doing anything for God? That as people call and we're put in positions, we don't feel like we have the authority or the influence or the power to do what it is that we've been asked to do? I certainly hope not. What we do have as ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the same power, the same authority, the same goals that Jesus Christ had. He died for us. He always did the Father's will. That's the goal we want. We don't have to die. We want to live because He now is living. We want to take this position of responsibility, take it seriously, and be a worthwhile ambassador, one that studies God's word, that studies what it is that we're supposed to speak, so that we don't speak wrong, we don't speak lies, we don't speak something that's not accurate for who we represent. We represent the one true God. We represent the media, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he accomplished. So we need to take the time to study. We need to understand our position. We need to be able to have the mind of Christ. Put it on so we can live it. So we're real ambassadors. Look at Romans, just before Corinthians, Romans 8. Because here is another real New Year's resolution. Here's one that many people are concerned about. They want to learn how to cement relations that will be beneficial and lasting. You know, you want to be part of something that's worthwhile, that's beneficial to you, beneficial to others, and it will last. It's not like when the next party gets elected that you're out, you're done. Your ambassadorship is over. No, these are points that we have forever until our last breath or until Christ comes back. So we want to cement relationships that will be beneficial and lasting. Here, look at Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God? He justified you. Why would he lay anything at your feet? He's not going to condemn us. Verse 34. Who's he that condemns us? Christ? Why would Christ condemn us? Because he died for us, right? Not only that, God raised him from the dead. He's even at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us. He's helping us. So why would he want to condemn us? Why would he want to lay our sins and shortcomings at his feet? It doesn't do any good. They're all forgotten. Christ took them to the cross with him. So he's making intercession for us. So verse 35 is going to tell us, who shall separate us then from the love of Christ? You talk a relationship that's beneficial and that will never die. This love of Christ that's born within us. Nothing is going to separate us from God's love, from the love of Christ. It's an incorruptible spirit put in us. No matter if we find ourselves in tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, anything that we may find ourselves in that is not some of the best situations, if we find ourselves in there, is God's love not going to be there? The love of Christ that's supposed to be shed abroad in our heart, is it going to desert us? Is God just going to, lay it to our charge and say, sorry, you've used up all your nine lives? No. No. Nothing's going to separate us, no matter what the situation is. God and Christ in us is an incorruptible seed. It's with us at all time. It's something that we can be very thankful with. Look, verse 36 says, as it is written, oh my God, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're just like sheep, just lined up for the slaughter. And verse 37 puts it in perspective. No, nay, we are not. When we find ourselves in tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, taxes, sword, whatever it is, it says that in all those things, we're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Because God loved us, because Christ loved us, we can be more than a conqueror. Things can turn around to God's side of it to make it very beneficial and very lasting. Nothing's going to separate us, no matter what situation we find ourselves. Look at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That pretty much covers everything that we're going to be faced with now and in the future. Absolutely nothing is going to be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in or through Christ Jesus our Lord. End of argument. We have a relationship with God, Jesus Christ, that will be beneficial and lasting to the end. Nothing is going to be able to interfere with that unless we walk away. 2 Corinthians 5, why would we want to do that? We're looking at having a real powerful new year. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we want to walk in this newness of life. We want a new life. We want a life that's a godly life, that's well-pleasing unto our Master. 2 Corinthians 5:17, our Heavenly Father. 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creation is the Greek text. You're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if you're in Christ, if you're walking by the Spirit, you've been given the opportunity to be a fellow laborer, to be in partnership with God in Christ. Everything is new today as we walk in the newness of this new creation that Christ has in us. God in Christ in us. New creation. Old things are passed away. Those think less of the flesh. We don't need to go there anymore. They don't mean anything. All things are new. Let's have that type of a life. Spiritually, mentally, physically. A new life. All right. Romans 8 tells us we also have an inheritance. Many people would love to have an inheritance. Well, how about an inheritance that's going to last for all eternity? Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We can have a father-son relationship. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You're a child of God now. And because you're a child of God now, verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Our identification is with Christ through his whole life, through the fact that he died and took our sins with him, the fact that he got up and received a new spiritual body. Our identification is with him. We're seated in the heavenlies. We're just waiting for Christ to come back to get on, to get this new spiritual body. But that's all part of our inheritance. We're children of God. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We've got an incredible inheritance. You know, an inheritance. An inheritance is something that someone else earned, but we can enjoy. Christ earned it. We enjoy the benefits. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you've probably heard that a lot, but that is so true. Thank you for what you accomplished, what you earned, and we can enjoy it. You know, when Christ died, when he went to the cross, when he died, when he shed his innocent blood, he did it not for himself only, but for all of us too. All of us benefit, and all of us have an inheritance, and we're looking forward to that day when we'll have this new spiritual body. Look at 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, because really, we have an inheritance, we have a down payment that we're going to get it, and when we speak in tongues, it's proof that we have a token. We've got, you know, we've got the little key that's going to be changed, that we're going to be changed one day. Here, 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for bodily exercise profits a little. You know, if you work out at the gym, you feel good, your body feels good, it profits for a little while. But godliness, that true, vital, spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father, is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Developing our relationship with God is the most profitable thing we can do now. We have a promise of a more abundant life now, but we have a promise of a life that is to come. And it's going to be so much better. It's just going to be incredible. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. This gives us a little bit more of an insight into what's going to be available when Christ does come back and we get this new spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll pick it up in verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So this is what's going to happen. Our physical bodies are going to be changed in a moment, in an atomos. It's just bam. When Christ comes back at that last trump, if you're dead, God will, your body will be changed immediately. That it'll all come back together. And we'll have a new spiritual body just like Christ gave us. Just like Christ has, that's what we're going to have. And in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're going to get a new spiritual body. That's part of our hope. It's going to happen very quick. So because we know that's going to happen, that this physical body is only good for so long, but what really counts about this physical body is the treasure that it houses, the treasure of Holy Spirit, we can have a living hope that Christ is coming back at any time. Because of that, we can abound in the work of the Lord. We can do what it is that God needs us to do. Your labor's not in vain when you work for Him, when you're doing what it is that He wants us to do. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Again, just a great reminder. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort. There's a good work we can do. Comfort one another with these words. This is something we can do that will bless God's people today. Comfort them by learning the Scripture, specifically the fact that we have a living hope that Christ is coming back. We'll get a new spiritual body. We're going to be with the Lord forever. We have an inheritance that we're going to receive one day. So, go to Ephesians 4 again. Let's talk about it. We got new speech. We've got new freedoms. It's time to grow up and live it and teach it and love people bigger. Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love. When we speak the truth, we do it in love. And it's loving to not just conform to this world, but to speak the words that are in this book. Because that's the truth. We do it in love so other people can enjoy the benefits of it now and in the future. We don't adulterate it. We don't water it down. We speak the meat of the Word. We give people what they can, but make sure it's the Word of God. That's why we study. And that's what this year is about. Continuing to put on the mind of Christ. Continuing to put God's Word in our heart. Being able to live it. Being able to do our best for Him. What a great adventurous year this can be if we choose to live life that way. Colossians 4, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom. Boy, is that a tremendous statement. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, because you only have so much time. It's amazing how fast it goes. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You've so studied the Word, you so allow Christ to work within you, that your speech will be with grace. It will come out and it will be a benefit to the hearers. And that you'll have an answer. Not just any answer, but God's answer. The right answer at the right time. When you see the different things that Jesus Christ went through, He always had the right answer and knew what to do in each situation. God working within Him, same God working within us. But our speech seasoned with salt. We mean what we say what we mean, because we speak the words of life, the words of truth. And that's a tremendous thing to be doing this year. So look at Colossians 3 now, because our overall perspective needs to be enhanced. If you're just getting born again, get born again and start studying the Word. Start living the Word. Start believing what the Word says. Start applying it in your life. But we can have an overall new perspective. Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, and that encompasses everything, whatsoever you're doing, do it heartily. Do it with full gusto. Doing it well-pleasing unto the Lord. Because you don't work for men. You don't need to be men pleasers. When men's around, you work hard. You know? No, we work for the Lord. That's who makes our final paycheck. So whatever we do it heartily, is unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Isn't that a tremendous verse? You know God's not going to shortchange you. You know that you will be rewarded for what you do, that there's an inheritance that's worth living today for all eternity. We serve the true Lord, and that's where we started. We made Jesus Lord. We understood His precious promises. So we started studying the Word, understanding the brevity of time, diligent effort. And then this year, we can have a new perspective on life, new access to success, a tremendous vocation. We can develop our partnership with God, with Jesus Christ. And as a member of the body of Christ, great new relationships and an incredible private membership, which God said, please tell more. There's lots of room in the membership of the body of Christ. So we have access to power, to God Almighty Himself. We can go into His throne room and we can spend time benefiting for what our mediator, our intercessor, what our Savior accomplished for us. So now we have a new lease on life. We're no longer dead and no longer follow the lusts of our former life. We now move ahead into the greatness of what God has in store for us. The keys, the prosperity, the keys to well-being, we realize that God has the answers to all of that. God gives us the ability to prosper. And we want to prove His ability, so He says, hey, give and receive. Watch what I'll do for you. So put on that new frame of mind, a frame of mind of an ambassador, a person in a position of prestige, of influence, of responsibility. Someone who is proud to be an ambassador because he is a true, honest workman of God's Word. And you have the right word at the right time to help others. And we want to cement relations this year that will be beneficial and long-lasting. So we've got this love of God within us, this Spirit of God, this tremendous opportunity to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we have a new life, and we can enjoy the inheritance that we've been given in this new life today. And one day we'll have a new body. And we have this living hope of Christ coming back. So what do? We talk about it. We have new freedom of speech, more liberty, more boldness to do what it is that God wants us to do. And He wants us to talk to other people, to let others know the greatness of what's in store today. Today, and we don't want Christ to have died in vain, which means we need to understand what's here to live it. And if we make mistakes, so what? We get up and keep moving. Nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. So we want an overall new perspective of being seated in the heavenlies. Now, today is the time to appreciate our beginning of this new life and all of its possibilities and all of its rewards that are there. So in 2007, if the Lord tarries, let's make this a year to remember. Let's have some real New Year's resolutions and spend more time with our Heavenly Father. Understand the accomplishments of Christ so much bigger and better, and then be an ambassador that speaks what God wants spoken that will be of great benefit to God's people as we win more this year and help solidify others who are already members of the household of God. I'd like to pray. Father, thank You for how much You care about us. We're grateful for Your love. We're grateful for everything that You do for us. And as we look forward to this year, how we have great excitement and anticipation that this could be a tremendous year of blessing Your people, of having our lives more enriched, and that we can continue to do what it is You want us to do. We're thankful that this can be a year of great year of outreach, of winning more to Your family, of then solidifying through further study of Your Word. Great opportunities here, Father. We're so grateful and thankful for what You've done, what You've accomplished for us, and that we can live it to its fullest as Your child and include You in everything we do. We're grateful for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.